My initial thought was to prepare a message on the life that is blessed based on Psalm chapter 1. The first three verses of Psalm 1 capture for us the essence of the life that is blessed. Just want to read that portion, Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But as I was studying and preparing that message, I came across certain false teachings, tithing as means to get blessed. So I decided to look into the scriptures about the topic tithing, both in Old Testament time and for us as New Testament believers. Do we tithe today or not? So for today's study, I want to turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Now for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. I want all of us to take note of two phrases Paul uses in this verse. First, for I do not seek what is yours, but you. And second, I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. As a minister of Christ, this was exactly what Paul wanted. To be spent for the souls, he sought for the souls and not what they had. Paul lived for Christ and he lived to win souls for Christ. Now if you turn a few pages backward to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, we are not going to that portion. Paul was talking to them a mighty lesson on giving. And when he comes to chapter 12, verse 14, he says, "For I do not seek what is yours, but you." A very powerful statement. Before I look further into the New Testament on tithing or giving, let's consider a few passages from the Old Testament. Now let us be very clear that we are not under the Old Testament law, but we are under grace. But there is a lot to learn from the Old Testament times. So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22 to 29. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money, take the money in your hand, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates, and the Levite, because he has no portion, no inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Just want to note a few points here. In verse 23, they had to make a yearly trip to the holy place, that's Jerusalem later. The people were to take the tithe to that place and eat it then as a feast of joy. It was an expression of joy and gratitude. God did not need the tithe. In commanding it, he was not seeking what was this, but he was seeking them. Second point, the purpose of the tithing feast was that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. It was a means of remembering how dependent they were on God and how much they should fear him. Third, there was a provision made for those traveling from far to sell the grains and flocks for money and may spend the money for whatever their heart desires. We read there, for oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink or whatever your heart desires. And there you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. Fourth point is, the whole of the tithe was not to be used by the family bringing it, but they had to remember the Levites who had no land of their own were to be supported by the tithes of the other 11 tribes. As we know, Levites were set apart for religious duties and had no land to grow crops or herds. Fifth point is, in verse 28 and 29, a third year tithe was designed not only to support the Levites, but also the three most helpless groups of people in the society: the refugees, the orphans, and the widows. It seems that a fund to help the needy was replenished every 3 years for the needs of these people. And finally, in verse 29, closes with a promise of blessing on the people. If they are faithful in this act of mercy to men and gratitude to God, the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. God cannot be enriched by us. He has no needs that our possessions can satisfy him, but he can be honored by the way we treat others in his name, by special acts which celebrate his bounty, and by our willingness to trust him to supply all our needs when we give. And the other thing we must remember is that God always honors people who give from a good heart of faith. The promise is not to make us rich, but it is this: those who love and trust God enough to honor him with at least a tithe will never lack the resources that they need. Two other important passages on tithing in the Old Testament are Numbers chapter 18, verse 21 to 24, and 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 4 to 18. In both these scriptures, the tithes of the people of Israel was brought to the house of the Lord and was distributed among the Levites and their children. Levites were not to have any inheritance among the children of Israel. I just want to read one portion, Numbers chapter 18, verse 21 to 24. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Hereafter, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear the iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore I have said to them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Another passage we commonly hear preached is from Malachi chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. This is often used to teach the need for Christians to tithe to the churches today. The passage reads, "You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." First, the context of this passage concerns the Israelites not bringing their offerings to the temple. Because of the disobedience, God had judged them with a small harvest. The Lord is challenging them to bring the full tithe of grain sacrifices and see that he would bless them with an abundance of future crops. Secondly, this passage teaches that the Jews were to give a tithe as part of a temple worship. Malachi was written more than 400 years before the start of the first church in Jerusalem. Applying its command of temple giving to the local church takes these verses out of their original context. Tithing is mentioned around 18 times in the law, as the people were to share the produce and livestock to support the Levites, the caretakers of the tabernacle. The same system of tithing will later be applied to the temple. I just want to read that portion, 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 5. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought its abundance, the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and of all the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. Now, before we look into the New Testament teaching on tithing or giving, let me tell you that as I studied this topic myself, it was an eye-opening to me. When we hear the prosperity preachers and some others asking the congregation for money and telling them how they will be blessed richly by giving to the church, we get stunned by this. Just want to share one example. Once, as I was watching the TV, I couldn't believe when I saw a TV Christian preacher. He made an altar with fire and there were so many people sitting and answering telephone calls. And they were writing the amount on a piece of paper and they will give it to the preacher and he will throw that into that altar and the paper will burn. And he was telling that it is going as a sweet aroma up. These are the things we are seeing today. We also hear many allegations about the lavish lifestyle of these preachers. I have asked myself, what is really the right thing to do when we deal with money? Sometimes even in our assemblies, preachers can guilt us into an emotional giving. How can we be good stewards of the blessings God has given us? Even in today's times, in spite of all the rich Christians in the world, many are suffering to meet ends even among brethren. How are we to respond then? Jesus mentions the word tithing only two times, both times in reference to legalistic abuse. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." These Pharisees obeyed the law of Moses in that they tithe painstakingly, yet they did not truly love God. Here, Jesus is challenging them to do both. Another portion is Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. "Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." I'm not telling that Jesus rejected the practice of tithing. He affirmed it for Israel. But he is much more intent on the weightier matters like faith. You can tithe everything and not trust God. Jesus was not seeking what was theirs. He was seeking them, the love of the soul, not the load of how much they gave. When we come to Apostle Paul's teaching, Apostle Paul never refers once to tithing. We don't know whether he taught his churches to tithe. When he founded churches, as he writes his letters, his rule can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2. "On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save, as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come." Another portion is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 to 5. "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." Just want to read one more portion. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, 8 and 9. "Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver." And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, He scattered abroad, He gave to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. The only other place in the New Testament where tithing is mentioned is Hebrews chapter 7 verse 4 to 12. Here the reference is back to Genesis chapter 14. And the point here is to show that Christ is like Melchizedek. This portion is not teaching about tithing. I have heard many preach of Abraham as an example, that Abraham giving Melchizedek 10% of what he got. But we don't have any other scripture portion, Abraham tithing on any other occasion. What Abraham gave to Melchizedek, king of Salem, was a portion of the spoil from the war. Now, tithing is not the pattern set for us. We are under an even better, higher standard when it comes to giving. Let us turn to Mark chapter 12, 41 to 44. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who are given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Verse 43 and 44 we read like this. Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of the surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. She gave 100%, that's what we see here. And few other passages I want to quickly read to you are Luke chapter 3 verse 11. And he would answer and say to them, The man who has 2 tunics is to share with him who has none. And he who has food is to do likewise. Give 50%. Luke chapter 19 and verse 8. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back 4 times as much. He is giving here 50%. One more portion, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21. Jesus said to him, The rich young man, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Jesus is telling here to give 100%. The standard that was set before us is much higher than the Old Testament times. In these times of consumerism, we have to ask ourselves, how much is enough for us? How much money or material is going to bring contentment within us? One of the main differences between the Old Testament church and the New Testament church is the Great Commission. By and large, the Old Testament people were not a missionary people. But the New Testament church is fundamentally a missionary people church. How much of our money is invested in spreading the gospel across the world? How much of our money is sustaining mission work in different parts of the world? What are we to do, or how are we to help when poor people among us are struggling? Or are we invested in feeding the orphans or millions of people who suffer calamities? Someone said like this, My neighbor is anyone with a need that I am able to meet. How much of our giving is sacrificial? Let us examine ourselves. When we give beyond our means, we are literally putting our faith in God the provider. Thus we glorify His name by giving. When a needy brother or sister is helped, they will in turn give glory to God for His provision in their life. When we send funds to feed the poor, they are going to know the love of God. So in every essence, giving is one important means by which we can glorify our God and honor Him. I don't want to go into detail of how we can give. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. Therefore, I do not seek what is yours, but you. Christ gave Himself for us. He gave His 100% for us. God the Father gave His only begotten Son that we may have life. How much of ours can we give? May the Lord help us.